Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning and welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. Regulation rather than crackdown. Victoria City Councillors have voted to look into regulating medical marijuana dispensaries in the city. And to here to discuss it and the fact that the province has said you can grow medical marijuana in the ALR is, of course, Michael Mulligan. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Wild times here, all the shifting times in when it comes to medical marijuana. Let's start with Victoria moving towards regulating these shops through business licenses?
That's interesting, given that none of the businesses are lawful. The city of Victoria doesn't have any authority to permit somebody to sell marijuana. All of those businesses at the moment are acting contrary to federal legislation, and they would be subject to people running them to arrest and being charged with trafficking in marijuana at any time. It's only by sort of discretion on behalf of the police and Crown that that doesn't occur today.
Mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, though, you look at, well, first Washington State and Colorado operating in, well, flouting federal law, and it's flourishing there.
That's true. We have essentially now sort of an extra legal response to marijuana, at least in this part of the country. There's no doubt that as a matter of law, it's illegal. But it seems to have gotten to the point where they're now, a quick internet search brought up a site with reviews of 14 different stores selling it in Victoria. We had hundreds of people smoking it outside of City Hall the other week.
Well, I was just out there yesterday as the debate was raging and people were smoking it right next to City Hall.
Yes, it seems to have gotten to the point where it's beyond the capacity to manage in the ordinary legal sense. We seem to have now, I think one of the interesting perspectives on all of this is a historical one. We had in British Columbia an effort to, we had prohibition here about 100 years ago for alcohol. That came in 1917. That, as with the current effort to deal with the problems with drug use by prohibiting it, was an abject failure. In British Columbia, the history of it, once prohibition was brought in, it resulted in the sort of activity we have now, which is general lawlessness. The person at the time in charge, the commissioner in charge of trying to regulate it, was caught importing a trainload of alcohol.
Wow.
It was a failure then, and that approach to it appears to be a failure now in terms of marijuana sales and use.
And there were prescriptions issued for liquor? Tell us about that.
Yes, that's the other interesting thing. We've come full circle. Once prohibition came in British Columbia for alcohol in 1917, one of the things which developed was the concept of medical alcohol. Medical doctors were then charged with issuing people with prescriptions for alcohol. And by 1919 in British Columbia, there were 181,000 prescriptions written by doctors for medical alcohol. The doctors were charging $2 a prescription. And the result then was that the government got in the business of medical alcohol. That's the origin of provincially run liquor stores. People would go to their doctor, get a prescription for nervous tension or whatever it might be, and they would take that $2 prescription to the government medical liquor store, and they would get their bottle of gin, and off they would go. And that ridiculous state of affairs carried on until 1920, when finally we in British Columbia abandoned the obvious failed effort at prohibition.
That is fascinating. I mean, essentially the same end game that's being run around the law now happened in this province back in 1920.
That's correct. We're doing it all over again. And apparently back at that time, 100 years ago, one of the sources of pressure to put an end to the ridiculous failed experiment with prohibition was from doctors who had grown tired of issuing people prescriptions for gin. And we seem to have arrived at that similar state of affairs now with the College of Physicians and Surgeons trying to limit doctors issuing permission for people to go and buy medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of that? Is that just a matter of time? Is the tide so strong that they're wading into this now? We just learned of what the BC College of Physicians and Surgeons is doing just recently. Is it a little late for that, or is it going to end up that doctors are going to put their foot down even more so than they have been?
Well, I suspect that the doctors will pay careful attention to the direction from the college. If they don't, they'd be subject to professional discipline. It could impact on their ability to practice medicine at all. But we've got this entire parallel system. All of these medical dispensaries, these storefront operations, are not in compliance with the whole scheme that involves a medical practitioner issuing somebody permission to purchase medical marijuana. There's a separate regime for that. And these stores that are selling it are accepting, apparently, all manner of different things before they'll start selling marijuana to people. There was a report in Vancouver that there some stores will accept a recommendation from a naturopath, including naturopaths hooked up by Skype in the store. There was apparently a store in Vancouver which will accept a document from a notary. A person would show up at a notary and sign some form of document saying they needed marijuana for a medical condition. And if the notary signs it, the store will then begin selling the marijuana. So we've got this entire scheme. No doubt the College of Physicians and Surgeons are well motivated to try and ensure people are getting appropriate medical treatment and doctors are only prescribing drugs that have known effects. That's obviously what their concern is. But the use of the substance appears to now be so widespread that essentially that medical scheme appears to be getting just bypassed.
When it comes to regulating these pot shops, as some people call them, but medical marijuana dispensaries, I guess, is the official term, you mentioned at the outset that it is just full stop, legal for them to be operating. How can the city of Victoria regulate something that is illegal?
That's a good question. They're doing it, just like people are smoking marijuana outside of City Hall, even though that's unlawful. There's a similar approach that was taken, has been taken for people operating as escorts. Often the activity that would be engaged in there would now be unlawful. But the city has seen fit in Victoria for some time to issue these expensive business permits to people that wish to operate as escorts. That may have some additional problems for the city. It seems to me on that front, they may be living off the avails of prostitution if they're charging differential rates for permits for people that are engaged in that activity.
So would that be similar for regulating medical marijuana dispensaries? I believe Vancouver was saying $30,000 that they would be charging?
Yes, I guess if somebody was really keen to do something with that, that might amount to something like possession of proceeds of crime, something of that description, because that the activity simply isn't lawful. But again, we've gotten to a point now where we're in a similar spot that we were back in 1918, 1919. Back then, we had bars that were operating selling near beer, under 1% alcohol, but they had kegs of liquor behind the counter and they'd sell it to anyone who wished it. So we've gotten to a point where there's simply no adherence to what the state of the law is.
Well, yeah. The Weed Social Club sits right across the street from City Hall.
Yes, and that's the reality, right? The law only is generally going to function if it's something for which there's general social acceptance of. We don't have the resources to arrest, try, prosecute, and jail everyone. We simply can't do that. So the law only works to the extent that it's generally in accordance with public, generally has public support. And where it doesn't appear to have that, as appears to be the case here, at least for a large section of the population, it becomes unenforceable, which is a serious problem. It undermines general respect for the law. It is corrupting in the sense that you have people engaged in activity which is unlawful and are then they are subject, at least theoretically, to prosecution. That's a serious problem.
But isn't it better to regulate what's already happening?
Well, yes, but it should be done in a more comprehensive way than issuing city licenses for an activity which is itself generally unlawful. The problem here is with the federal law dealing with drug possession. We have a state of affairs where the federal government makes it a criminal offense or an offense under the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act to possess marijuana or to produce it. We appear now to be at a state where there isn't broad public support for that position to the extent that the police aren't enforcing it, people aren't routinely charged with it. But problematically, some people are, which results in an arbitrariness which is corrupting and, in my judgment, damaging.
Well, it's been described as a Wild West show. CFAX listeners, what do you think about the conversation we're having right now, what we're learning from a legal perspective here? Join us, 250-386-1161, *1070 on your cell phone. Our email address is talk@cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. When we come back, more on the movement by Victoria City Councillors to look into regulating medical marijuana dispensaries. And we're also going to ask Michael for his take on the fact that the province is now allowing medical marijuana to be grown in the agricultural land reserve. Stay with us.
Call us 250-386-1161. Or on your cell at *1070. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Hi, I'm Al Farabee, and I'm going to do it. I'm running in this year's Oak Bay Half Marathon, and I'm hoping you can help me raise money for CFAX Status Anonymous with Al's 21 for 21 campaign. $1 for every kilometer I run on May 24th. Please join me on CFAX 1070 May 21st, or I'll ask you to donate. Or you can make a donation online at CFAXSantas.com.
Al's 21 for 21, proudly supporting CFAX Santas Anonymous, only on CFAX 1070.
Coho is a collection of sleek, contemporary homes overlooking forest, mountains, and water inlets, just minutes from Victoria, local amenities, and every recreational pursuit imaginable. Phase 1 is sold out, and Phase 2 is over 40% sold and move-in ready this fall. With two bedrooms starting at $259.9, Coho's private hilltop location and exceptional value put it above and beyond the rest. Visit the Presentation Center on Wilford Road in View Royal, open Wednesday to Sunday, 12:30 to 4:30, or visit coholiving.com.
This is Talk Radio, and I'm with President Darryl Jones. Now, we all know that nothing in life is guaranteed.
Yeah, like my dream of becoming a singing sensation. But at Save-On Foods, with our new Always Lowest Guarantee, we guarantee that we'll have the lowest prices on over 850 items you buy most. So if one of our competitors advertises a lower price on one of the 850 Always Lowest Guaranteed items, just show us their ad, and you'll get one free.
Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Save-On Foods. Talk about savings.
Looking for the perfect gift for this Mother's Day? Why not give Mom the gift of movies with a Cineplex gift card and Spring Gift Bundle? Spend $30 on Cineplex gift cards and get a bundle of free offers. The bundle includes buy one, get one free admission, a free ticket upgrade, a free regular popcorn, and more. To find out more, visit a Cineplex theater or cineplex.com/3free.
The right kind of professional advice could change your life. Robin of Hatch and Muir.
Whether you're choosing an advisor for the first time or considering changing advisors, make sure you get the right one for you. Always look for a qualified financial planner. Complete a background check. Conduct a formal interview. Get all your questions and concerns answered before making a decision.
Visit HatchMuir.com and open the worksheet for choosing an advisor. Invest right with Hatch and Muir. Investments, insurance, advice. Call 953-6816.
Hatch and Muir. We can help you.
A new roof is a big investment. One of the most important decisions you can make for the protection and value of your home. Before you do anything, look into a steel roof from Irwin Industries. It's fireproof, moss-free, with clean lines and concealed fasteners. Available in over 40 colors, your new roof will last virtually forever. Call them for the last roof you'll ever need. 875 Viewfield Road, online at steelrooffictoria.net. Call 382-5154.
Come on. The 2015 Billboard Music Awards.
Tonight is about to be epic.
Hosted by Chrissy Teigen and Ludacris.
That's what I'm talking about.
With performances by
Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea,
Ed Sheeran,
Nick Jonas,
Sam Smith,
John Legend,
Meghan Trainor,
Kelly Clarkson,
Hozier,
plus
Mariah Carey,
and Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
Watch live on CTV, the CTV Go app, or CTV.ca. The 2015 Billboard Music Awards. Sunday, May 17th on CTV.
Winner of the RTDNA Award for Best Newscast 4 years running. This is CFAX 1070. The biggest news events, the stories in our community. She has it covered. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking. Regulation rather than crackdown. Victoria City councillors have voted to look into regulating medical marijuana dispensaries in the city. That on the same day that the province announces that they're going to allow medical marijuana to be grown in the agricultural land reserve. We're with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson to the phones. And Donna, good morning, Donna. You're on CFAX.
Yes, good morning. I know this isn't the same thing, but I remember years and years ago when Coca-Cola first came on the market, that you could only get it through prescription in a drugstore only. Now you kids can drink it big glasses in arenas and ballparks and anywhere they want.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, if yeah. It's and that's just loaded with caffeine, right,
oh,
Michael?
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a drug.
Well, Coca-Cola, actually, when it first came out, one of its ingredients was cocaine.
Oh.
That's where the name came from. So that's the history of Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, and it's wonderful over ice cream, I tell you.
Thanks a lot, Donna.
Okay, thanks.
All the best. When it comes to, let's move into the province's decision to allow the growing of medical marijuana in the agricultural land reserve. What do you make of that?
That's interesting. The agricultural land reserve, the whole concept there is to set aside portions of productive land for agricultural purposes. And by setting up the agricultural land reserve, it removed authority from local municipalities who may have other interests other than the long-term preservation of farmland from being able to zone what's going on there. Because otherwise what was occurring is municipalities would rezone land to set up things like housing developments and this sort of thing. And if you let that go on, eventually we'd have no farmland and just a sprawl of houses all over the place. So the purpose of the agricultural land reserve is to stop that and to preserve land and make sure it's used for agricultural purposes. So what's gone on is growing marijuana is a agricultural activity. It's growing a plant. So municipalities that might like to stop that activity because they don't like the smell or they don't like the activity for some moral or other reason, they don't have authority to do that by simply zoning away the growing of marijuana. The same thing, for example, the Agricultural Land Commission has issued a directive that, for example, you could set up a winery or a cidery on your agricultural land, as long as you're using a significant portion of apples or grapes that you're growing on the land. And even if the local municipality didn't like the idea of a winery going in next to whatever else is in the municipality, they don't have the authority to stop that because the land zoning and land use of land in the agricultural land reserve is out of the jurisdiction of the local municipality.
So what's the potential here for our beautiful agricultural land here on Vancouver Island to become pot plants?
At the moment, the way it would work is that if you wish to lawfully grow marijuana, you need to apply for permission from Health Canada federally, and they're moving to a system or have moved to a system whereby we won't have marijuana grown in people's basements or cupboards or this sort of thing.
Well, that depends on the battle at the Supreme Court level.
That's true. And there's some of that that's sort of a hangover from that challenge. But the federal government's position is to move to this large industrial scale marijuana production, which I think they would say could be better regulated. It's easier to regulate what's going on in one giant warehouse than hundreds of people's basements.
Well, and it's also Big Pharma, that's a colleague has dubbed Big Canna. You know, there's potentially that connection there as well.
Yes, and there'll be all sorts of economic interests, right? We've got here, as you drive out to the ferry, just at that turnoff before Island View Beach, a big concrete bunker surrounded by barbed wire in the middle of a field for the purpose of industrial marijuana production.
So what's the likelihood that we're going to see more of those? I mean, people get upset about having cows next door and the smell and the like of that. What's the potential for these things, as you say?
Right.
They need to get a license. But what if, say, Tilray and Nanaimo has the license, and then could they contract landowners or could they use existing ALR land?
Yes, that's the short answer is yes. But if you don't like the smell of agricultural activity, my advice would be don't purchase a house next to the agricultural land reserve, because the owner of the agricultural land might just as well set up a pig farm there. That's also smelly, but that's the nature of agricultural production. So if you decide to buy a house next to it, you best be ready for that, because your local municipality can't stop somebody from engaging in agricultural pursuits on agricultural land.
What's the potential for this land to be gobbled up by marijuana plants should it be legalized for recreational use in this country?
I don't know how much gobbling up would occur. It's always been my view looking at this, and I look at it from a sort of a criminal law perspective, about how ridiculous it is that we're growing plants in things like people's basements under artificial light. That just seemed like such a ridiculous state of affairs when you take a step back from the legal scheme. I would suspect if this substance wasn't illegal, it would be grown in, you know, greenhouses or large facilities. And if it was generally legal, it would have a price equivalent to parsley. There's nothing inherently valuable about the substance. It only has a value because it's criminalized and its production and use is restricted. If it didn't, it would be worth no more than any other plant. You would also, by the way, have the incidental effect if you treated it in that fashion. You would remove the potential for criminal profits. So if you don't like things like criminal motorcycle gangs opening up in your neighborhood, one of the ways to get to that goal would be to decriminalize some of this drug production, because if it's not unlawful, it would have no value. And if it has no value, there's going to be no criminal activities associated with it in the same way. It's like with alcohol. When you prohibit it, you don't stop people from drinking alcohol. You just create Al Capone.
That's a great line. What would be in it for the province at this juncture to say you can grow medical marijuana in the agricultural land reserve and municipalities can't stop it?
Well, I'm not sure if there's anything in it other than the sense that the Agricultural Land Commission has concluded that, not surprisingly, growing a plant is agricultural activity. I think it's no more than that. And it seems to me pretty hard to argue that growing a plant is not an agricultural activity. So to the extent that it is, and to the extent that it's lawful, you're allowed to do that on your agricultural land.
What do you think is going to happen with the medical marijuana dispensaries in this city, in terms of where they get their supply from? Because as you mentioned, it's potentially illegal because if they don't have their licenses.
It's probably like the supply that they would currently have being grown in places like rental houses, people's basements, this sort of thing. And that is a problem. There are serious problems associated with marijuana, including those sort of things. People growing it, they ruin rental houses, they start fires. It causes criminal activity like home invasions. It funds gang activity like the... all of that is extremely negative from a community perspective. But most of those serious problems are serious problems that we've created by making it unlawful in the way that we have. If you made some other substance that people were determined to use unlawful, and if you make alcohol unlawful, what you're going to have are people setting up stills in their basement, and they're probably going to occasionally light their house on fire, and you're going to have people breaking into houses to steal the liquor from them, and you'll have bathtubs of liquor overflowing, and you'll have people that are poisoned by taking bad liquor and drinking it. So those are the sort of problems that we're dealing with. We're dealing with these sort of problems that are of our own making, and they're serious ones, but they exist by and large because of the approach we've taken to this substance.
What should we do now?
Well, if you're asking for my policy position on it,
yes,
my policy position would be that much like the conclusion we came to in 1920 for alcohol, we should move away from the utterly failed experiment of criminalizing this substance. There may be good government, good legitimate reasons to control children using it or the advertising of it, this sort of thing, but the approach we've taken now is a ridiculous one. It corrupts, it wastes resources, and it causes harm.
Wow, that's forceful. Pleasure having you in once again. Interesting conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. He's my regular guest on Legally Speaking.